And one of them is the Honorable Marvin Hunt. And I want to give you a little bit of a description. Not to be prideful at all, but just to let you know, this is a great guy that we have in our church today. He is a member of the Legislative Assembly, and he currently serves the Surrey-Cloverdale area. He has served as an MLA since 2013, and today he serves on the Select Standing Committee on Public Accounts and also on the Cabinet Committee on Secure Tomorrow. Prior to his election as an MLA, he served on the Surrey City Council, that's a bit of a mouthful, for 23 years. Marvin has devoted countless hours to charitable and nonprofit organizations in a wide variety of endeavors. And Marvin and his wife Ruth are longtime Surrey residents, and they share 6 children and 16 grandchildren. I know, that's quite a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, could you please help me welcome Honorable Marvin Hunt.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And actually, if you went to more of that, I was actually born and raised in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Central Pentecostal, born with Brother Buntaine. Bob Taintinger was my pastor. My youth pastor was George Smith. I threw him into the swimming pool once. Actually, I reminded him that he used to play the saw. And he looked at me and he said, "No, that is a rumor that didn't happen." And I said, "Well, I was there and I heard you." You know, because we used to have at Sunday school, we'd have open sessions and he would do all sorts of interesting things. So yes, my heritage is the Lord. And he is all of our heritage. And so it's an absolute pleasure to be here. I was just at a senior's home just down the street a few minutes ago, and I was recounting, since this is the 150th anniversary of Confederation, those of us that are older than remembering what happened in 1982, when we changed and became Canada, before that we were the Dominion of Canada. And so that comes from the 72nd Psalm, I believe it's verse 8, where it says, "His dominion shall be from sea to sea, from the great river to the ends of the earth." And as Tully was having his devotions in Psalm 72, Sir John A. Macdonald wanted to call it the Kingdom of Canada. And Tully had seen in this, and he said, "No," he said, "it should be," and these, you know, it was only 4 provinces at the time, and they had this wild ambition that they should go from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean, from the Great River, St. Lawrence, to the end of the earth. Well, you look at the globe, and what's the end of the earth? The North Pole. And who's got the North Pole? Right? So that was his wild ambition that Tully had, and so he came up and suggested, and so unanimously the Fathers of Confederation agreed to calling it the Dominion of Canada, which it was until 1982. And then I'm from Central in Edmonton, and so I come from Alberta, where we had interesting things, and I expect there's going to be a few people here from Saskatchewan, and we had this guy by the name of Thomas Douglas, who was, what was it, about the 5th or 6th Premier of Saskatchewan, came up with this wild idea of taking care of the poor, that there should be a single-payer health care system. He was a Baptist minister, is what he was before he entered politics. And again, became the leader of what was the CCF and then became known as the NDP. And was a federal member, and so we have Medicare, medical health across Canada today as a result of that. I was raised under William Eberhardt. William Eberhardt, another Baptist minister who had a prophetic Bible Institute in Calgary. He had a broadcast called the Back to the Bible broadcast, which he preached on Sunday. One of the people that listened to that was a guy by the name of Ernest Charles Manning, who became, well, he was actually the first graduate of the Calgary Prophetic Bible Institute, and you all knew that, right? That's right. And who ultimately became the premier of Alberta was the longest serving premier, I think the second longest serving premier in all of Canada. At the time he was doing it, he was the longest serving premier in the world at the time. A godly man who as I would head off to Sunday school in our car, we always listened to Nash Canada's National Back to the Bible broadcast with Ernest C. Manning, Lord of the Lands, make Canada thine own. Right? Those of you who remember, you know, I mean, there's got to be a few that are as old as I am, right? That can remember that those exact days. But do you remember the third verse of Canada's national anthem? Ruler supreme, who heareth earnest prayer, hold our dominion in thy loving care. Help us to find, O God, in thee a lasting rich reward, and waiting till that better day, we ever stand on guard. God, keep our land glorious and free. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Isn't that awesome? And we have those today who want us to forget the wonderful, godly Christian heritage that we have here in Canada. Did I forget to tell you that William Eberhardt was a Baptist minister? So, you know, if we look at history, we can see the Socreds and the NDP fighting each other, you know, politically. You've heard of those things. I know you guys are young, and you've heard of the NDP, right? And you may have heard in ancient history a thing called the Socred Party, you know? Well, it was two Baptist ministers. Okay, the Baptists have their problems. But the reality is that we have a godly heritage that we need to be proud of and we need to appreciate. And you know, the reality is that we continue to serve today, I want to advise you that there is a group of us that get together every Thursday morning when the house is sitting in Victoria. We get together at 8:30 in the morning for prayer. And it is members. Now, the members of the NDP are a little more under pressure than we are, so they don't attend as often as we do, but I want you to know that there are good Bible-believing people that are on both sides of the house that are serving you and serving this wonderful province. And so, can I ask you for something? I know politicians are always asking for stuff, right? And we're giving away what doesn't belong to us and all that kind of stuff, okay? But really, what doesn't belong to me is your prayers. But I covet them. I greatly value the fact that you would pray for us. Because, you know, we have challenges. We've got pressures on us all the time. We've got people saying everything we do is wrong. We're all corrupt. We're all in it for the money. And we're all, you've heard the long list. But I want you to know that there is a group of people who are standing for righteousness in this province. And we want to see God rule and reign in this nation. When we sing the national anthem, it is our prayer. God, keep our land glorious and free. God, keep our province and our city glorious and free. When we have challenges, we go to Him, asking Him for His solutions, His guidance, His direction. We're trying to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit leading and directing us. So please, keep praying for us. Keep believing God for us. And now, especially as we see a transition from one premier to another, from one set of governance to another set of governance, again, it's a time for us to believe God that He is the ruler of everyone. He's the one that raises up one leader and puts down another leader. He holds the heart of the king in His hands, and He turns it as the rivulets of water wherever He wills. And that's what we need to keep praying for. That's what we need to believe, keep believing God for, because I am convinced of this one thing, that as long as we, His people, humble ourselves, seek His face, and pray, that we turn from our wicked ways. Oh, isn't that a challenge? But we work at acknowledging and turning from our wicked ways, then He's going to hear us. He's going to heal our land, and He's going to continue to work. So please, I thank you so much for your prayers for us. I thank you so much for your prayers for all those in authority. As 1 Timothy 2 says, please continue to pray for us, continue to believe God for us, so that we can keep this land glorious and free. God bless all of you. Thank you.
So why don't you stand to your feet, change your position, and if you feel comfortable, put your hand towards Honorable Marvin Hunt. And we just want to pray for him, and a great, some of the pastors will come around as we lead, and just think about who maybe your MLA is in your area, and think about our Prime Minister, and let's just begin to pray on their behalf. And so, Father, we are blessed to have men and women who serve you and love you and want to be in politics and want to help to lead this land. And so, Father, I just pray you would continue to lead these men and women who serve our country, who serve in leadership. Father, give them wisdom, wisdom that would be beyond them, that they would know, Lord Jesus, that they are leading from a place that has been with you. May they feel, Lord Jesus, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. May they go with the unction of the Holy Spirit. May they go in power and in righteousness. May they stand and stand firm, having done all else, Lord Jesus. May they know the prayers of the saints. May they hear and feel the intercession of many who would pray for our land and pray for its freedom and pray for its rights. And Father, I just pray for these men and women who don't always get the accolades that they would deserve for their hard work. I pray, Lord Jesus, that they would find that in you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for all that Marvin especially would do and say in these next coming years, empower him and strengthen him and his family as he leads. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And Marvin, your wife couldn't be with us. So sometimes when our spouses can't always be with us, it's nice to bring them something home. Absolutely. Wouldn't you say, Spa Absolutely. Church?
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I have to look at where we are. It's been a wonderful service so far. And it is that time where, for our people who are regular to Spa Church, we are going to do give of our tithes and offerings. And what that means, if you're not a regular part of Spa Church, is you don't have to give anything. But as giving back to the Lord, we give a tithe or a tenth of what we earn, and our offering is over and above if we want to give that to the Lord. So we want to be able to be people who give freely and lovingly as part of our worship. And I'm going to call for the men to come down, and we're going to pray, and then we have a special offertory, and can it be? Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have provided for us, and we are so glad that we can come to you in prayer, and in thanksgiving, and in worship. And so, Father, may you be pleased with all that we do and say and give back to you. And may it be in service to the King. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. done a wonderful job. We are still going to hear from them, so don't worry, they're not all leaving. Before I introduce to you today our special speaker, I wanted to say a special thank you to his wife for coming. Sue, I see you over there. Sierra has some flowers for you. I just don't want to ever forget our spouses. Sometimes we have special speakers, and it's so great to thank them for coming. But man, those spouses sure help get us all ready and get us going and pray for us. And I also wanted to acknowledge, I see you, Shannon. So good to see you and your family. I'm going to introduce you, and I hope it doesn't sound like I'm putting myself out there, but I've known this guy kind of long. So our special speaker today is Pastor Dave Wells, and I worked together briefly at Broadway Church many years ago with him. I especially enjoyed when we could go out to the baseball field and would play against his team, because it was a great joy that from time to time I could get him out. Come on, that was funny. That was funny. I do remember that several times. After Broadway days, he went on to commute to work to our national office in Toronto from 1999 to 2001. He commuted. Following that, he was elected the BC Yukon District Superintendent, and while there, he hired me on, wow, to assist him with the 2010 job that he carried out for the Olympics. Now listen to this. He was the manager of the multi-faith centers in both Vancouver and Whistler. As well, he was the head chaplain for the Christian delegation. Dave has a passion to serve others, and especially to serve athletes, and has traveled to many countries and been in a countless number of Olympics, Paralympics, and Pan Am Games with the chaplaincy programs. He has since received his doctorate, and recently, it's kind of, we joke about it, but I always called him the Pope, but recently actually I saw on Instagram that he met the true Pope. That's pretty amazing. One of our leaders to meet the Pope. I think this is a good way to put it, and for the kids in the service, maybe you'll be able to understand who Pastor Dave really is. He's my boss's boss's boss. Do you get it? Currently, he serves as the National Superintendent of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Please join me in giving an awesome spa welcome to Dr. Reverend David Wells to the pulpit.
Are you guys standing there for the whole message? Oh, Lordy, Lordy. Seriously. What if I let you grab some chairs and then I gave you a 5-minute warning before I was going to wrap up? Would you guys like that?
We don't care. We're good.
All in favor that we let them have a little break in the... Okay. So... Sorry, James, I'm not trying to mess up the party here. Will you guys love me if I give you a little, yeah. Plus, I won't feel guilty about 75 minutes into it if they, you know, no. I'm just Hey, it's great to be back at Surrey Pentecostal, and it's been my privilege to be here more than a couple times and to share God's word with you and also to work with the leadership back in the days when I was district superintendent, so wonderful to be invited. I appreciate Pastor Wes and Michelle and their leadership here and the invite to be along with you guys, and then Nicole's hard work on pulling this together and seeing if I was able to be here. The good news is although we are now living in Ontario, we still have our family, and we have our family home in North Delta, so we get to come back quite a bit and enjoy the guest room in the basement, yay. So, it's great to be home, and great to be with the Markhams. Pastor Lester and Pat still serve with us nationally in coordinating our national prayer ministries. Isn't that great? And we're so glad to be elbow to elbow with them as well. And then I see Dave McCormick suffered a violent injury this morning serving the kingdom. So appreciate all of your staff and the good work that they're doing. And so a real privilege to be back with you here today. And on what a great event. And I am, my friends at the national leadership tables will call me things like Captain Canada. And it is because I do serve this country from sea to sea to sea. I also represent us internationally, which is a little bit about the Pope comment, as I am vice chair of the Pentecostal World Fellowship and have opportunity to be at a lot of global tables as well. But you're part of this national and global family, and I do want to honor Surrey Pentecostal for leaning in and participating with us, first of all, by serving well locally, caring about your community. Surrey matters to Jesus, so thanks for doing faithful service in your Jerusalem. But also, you've always leaned in to be participants with us in our provincial, our district ministries, and you even gave a previous pastor to be my successor as district superintendent. You know, any of you remember Pastor Ken Russell? I know you do, and Brenda. But Ken, he does his hair. He carries around a jet engine, and he holds that jet engine in front of his head in the morning. And so that's why he always looks so pretty, you know. And so I give Ken a hard time about that. But he's serving us so well as district superintendent. And so that connection continues. And thanks for serving alongside of our district here. But you're involved with us nationally, and you're involved with us internationally. We're in over 70 nations now. We're responding in so many different ways as we reach out to people to come to first-time knowledge of Jesus, or we're involved in planting churches in many countries. In fact, our global workers, there's over 340 of them now, are almost involved proportionally in each of these areas. Some are involved in equipping and teaching ministries. We participate in well over 40 theological institutions around the world, and you help to participate in that. And then a strong care orientation, especially through our Child Care Plus. We now sponsor 8,000 children worldwide, and ERDO is $9 to $10 million of care and development every year, of which we served last year over 160,000 people in tangible ways, responding to crisis needs and development. Of course, we've been engaged in responding to things like refugee sponsorship for a couple decades now, but it was really heightened with the Syrian refugee, and we were one of the denominations that stepped to the plate right away and said that we would be there. And so far, we've received over 20-some families, 60-some people. We'll be probably up to about 100 people by the end of the year that our Pentecostal family has opened their arms to. And all of the experiences, those families just speak so highly of how the Pentecostal family has been there for them. So that's us. And us is you. We understand that the genius of God is the local church. And self-governing local churches are like streams of water that bring life into the communities where they're placed, be they small rural communities, be they suburban communities like you find yourself in, or in the heart of cities. The local church is the genius of God. And this matters. You being the people gathered matters for worship, for prayer, for discipleship. But it also matters that you're the people scattered in your involvements in the community. People like Marvin doing what Marvin does. Aren't you glad? So we want to talk today about what it's like to be citizens of this great country at such a time like this. And of course, I'll come from the biblical perspective, but with strong applications. I am at the table of our country and involved with multiple leaders in multiple contexts. I'm involved with various faith groups, involved with lots of community involvements, including my sports chaplaincy involvements. And my son-in-law, who happens to be sitting here today, Eric, I was thinking about our responsibility to our country one day, and I thought of Eric. Eric's a dual citizen. He was raised in a military family, and that was an American military family. His father was American. And so he was born in Fort Knox. Now, how American is that? Isn't the gold kept there? We don't see a lot of it. But anyways, how many else are dual citizens? Eric's American and Canadian. How many have dual citizens? Yeah, like a whack of this room. Well, we honor you. It brings unique privileges, but also unique challenges, especially as American friends are finding out, how do you pay your taxes? and what taxes are demanded now of the American government compared to, there's all that kind of stuff. And you and I know the joy of citizenship, as has been pointed out this morning, and rightfully so, a great country. You know, our backgrounds are so parallel. Raised in Edmonton, my first home church was Central Tabernacle. My first pastor was Bob Taittinger. We woke up every morning listening to Ernest C. Manning, Premier of Alberta, with Back to the Bible, and then we sang along with him, and then it's flipped over to Central Tabernacle, and this is my story, and this is my, and we drive off to Sunday school, right? So, hey, we're brothers. Yeah. No wonder we both wear blue suits. But anyways, that's a shared background, and it's a great story. But I am the national guy, and I've commuted across our country. I get to do about 100,000 miles a year and get to go sea to sea to sea. And in this picture that you'll see up on the screen, I want to tell you about places that just make me very proud and so on. The flag there, of course, and the top picture reminds me of as I was serving in our Alberta district back in the late 80s, I was speaking to a congregation of 13 people on a Sunday night along the Mackenzie River. And then I got in the vehicle with the pastor and we headed off back towards Hay River, about a 5-hour drive. And during that time period, we did not pass one other human being, that whole drive. And you think of the vastness of this country, but in the middle of it all, as we were driving, and it was in September, so it was getting, it got a little dark as we kept driving, all of a sudden the northern lights came out, and it was the light show of all light shows, because the further north you get, and you get to see the northern lights, it's amazing. And the vastness of the land. And in the middle of that, all of a sudden we came across snow owls that began to rise from the road in front of us and take off in front of the headlights. So you had the northern lights and you had these snow owls. And I mean, it literally brought tears to your eyes, the greatness of the Creator that we get to witness so much in this country. You stand up in the Yukon at the top of Atlin Lake at Camp Yukon, and you look down that lake and the mountains rising on all sides, and you're just struck by the Creator. You go up to Whistler and you get up to the top of Seventh Heaven and you look off towards the south and you see the Black Tusk rising up, you see, or you're from Alberta and you know what it's like to get up on top of Sulphur Mountain or to go, to all those great places and stand and watch on the prairies as a thunderstorm rises in front of you, and you get to see from in Saskatchewan the land of living skies, you see, and again you're reminded at the force of nature and the greatness of the Creator. And I sometimes embarrass my wife because I'll break out, suddenly with no notice with a lot of people around singing, "This is my Father's way," or "This is my, how great thou art," and I don't sing as well as some people, but I'm a worshiper. And amazing to live in a country that just evokes such recognition of a great Creator and God. Now, His whole creation speaks of that, of course, but we're Canadian. One of my favorite spots is that lower middle picture where you go into the memorial chamber with right within the Houses of Parliament. I don't know how many have had the privilege of going in there, and you're surrounded by all the names of those who have died in wars representing our nation. You see all the names, and then you come to the central altar, and you read this inscription: "My marks and scars I carry with me to be a witness for me that I have fought his battles, who now will be my rewarder. So he passed over, and all the trumpets sounded for him on the other side." A direct quote from Pilgrim's Progress, as Pilgrim passes over to the other side, having been faithful to fight the battles he was called to. Right now I'm working on the chaplaincy preparations for the Invictus Games in Toronto. Again, working with a broad cross-section, we follow the Olympic Charter pattern, which is that the five major faith groups should be represented as part of the chaplaincy offering, so that when athletes, and in this case family and friends of the wounded warriors, come, that there they'll find the religious services that they would find back home. It's a great privilege. This has just been a continuation of God opening doors when we lived in Calgary prior to the Calgary Olympics, and it's just continued on out of passion and burden for world-class athletes and others who sometimes build their entire life, as one Canadian Olympic athlete and champion talked about. He said, you know, you build your entire life around your sport. It's like the hubs of the wheel coming down to the hub, which is your sport. And all of a sudden, that hub is gone. You know, all your family life, all your schedule, all your diet, all your coaching, everything is revolved, and now it's gone. And what are you living for? Sad thing was, he really didn't have an answer to give. But I've worked with athletes who understand that everything they do for the glory of God. And you see, that actually drives them to be world-class athletes, to do well. Just like it should drive us, whatever our profession, whatever our calling, we do everything to the glory of God. But you see, when you do it for the honor of Jesus, that doesn't go away as you transition from calling to calling and involvement to involvement, because it's still same Lord. You see, you learn these lessons, but you get to deal with people who don't always understand those things, or who go, of course, through great trauma. I'd invite you, as you're praying for Marvin, pray for me, but also as you're reminded of the Invictus Games, pray for our wounded warriors. I'm bringing chaplain friends to come serve from the United States. 22 wounded service people from previous conflicts take their life every day. Every day. So I ask you, be there. And you see, we have a place in our country where you can go and remember these things, but also be reminded that you can build your life around the one who will reward you when you cross over. What a great spot. Go to Ottawa. Go to the Memorial Chamber. Read the inscriptions. I love this country. I love the joie de vie of our Quebec friends. Susan and I will be out in northern New Brunswick with her Francophone family. And the Francophone people are wonderful people who love life, who welcome you at their table, as do our maritime friends, our Atlantic friends. Some of you maybe are from the Rock, and you know about the life that's there in Newfoundland. And so this is a wonderful country. And we celebrate that identity. Not just those of us born and raised in the country, but those of us who've come and found this to be our country. And it's a bit like was shared earlier, I used the crass illustration. It's like if you're living here in this country at this time, it's like you won the lottery, which is a gift and a privilege from God. What are we going to do with it? So we celebrate Canada's 150th birthday. There's, of course, always those things that could be better about a nation. That's why we show up at the table. But there's so much to thank God for. There's so much to thank our fellow Canadians for, who have served and continue to serve so well across this country in so many ways. You don't have a healthcare system if you don't have nurses, doctors, emergency workers, right? Thank God. Thank God for those who are with our police services represented here today. Thank God. You don't value the security and the peace that we know. It's not perfect, but you don't value it until, like myself, 70 to 80 nations that I've visited, and the number of times you just realize this is different. Even the passing, you know, the democratic processes that have happened in this province. Sorry, Marvin, you're in the opposition now, you know. But how much preferential is that? To have a constitutional monarchy, democracy. But part of that then brings the tension of dual citizenship. Because you have to show up at the table of that nation that you love, that you value. As followers of Jesus, we're never promised, and you can see this clearly, especially as instruction is given to the church in the New Testament. You're never promised that you're going to have home field advantage as a follower of Jesus within the nation that you live. Are you tracking with me? That's clear New Testament teaching. That was the reality of the first church. You're not guaranteed home field advantage. How then do you live? So we're also reminded that we have a citizenship in heaven. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And Philippians 3:20 talks about citizenship in heaven. I've been reading Peter a lot lately, and I encourage you, if you haven't been in Peter for a while, 1st, 2nd Peter, you need to re-engage this because it's written with the wisdom about how do you live out your life and how do you live out your citizenship on earth as a citizen of heaven. It's the exilic understanding that you may not always have home field advantage, but you are always a citizen of the kingdom of God. And you always live that way wherever you are. All of our brothers and sisters in Christ, the millions and hundreds of millions that are around this planet, they live in so many different kinds of environments and governments and nations. Very few that are like ours. But they live for Jesus. They represent the kingdom. They live for the king. Shannon will tell you, I educated my kids to have convictions, yes, to understand what was going on in the culture, to understand about politics. But in the end, we are not, first of all, defined by some political designation of who we are. Left and right doesn't always work for us. Liberal and conservative doesn't always work for us because we are citizens of the King. And so Baptists can originate universal health care, and Baptists can originate the Social Credit Party and emphasize the biblical values in other strong areas that I grew up with in Alberta. And you know, you can see righteousness and justice getting expressed all across the spectrum when people of God show up, so that care for the poor is not versus or against living in a country with proper security and proper economics. It's kingdom economics. Work on that. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So we celebrate our national identity, but we also celebrate our identity of being the people of God, a citizenship that's open to absolutely every person on this planet. How do you live as a dual citizen with the tensions that go with that? Well, aren't you glad as I am this morning that you and I serve Jesus, who was the ultimate dual citizen? Think about it. He came representing the kingdom of God. As he arrived on the scene, he was able to say, "Now you know the kingdom of God is among you." He was the son of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there he is. And he comes, not like a voice screaming out of the heavens, or screaming like I am this morning, you know, like a loudspeaker just telling us a message. He doesn't treat us like a detached deity. So I have deep respect for my fellow friends, and they are friends within the other faith communities. But I tell you, even as I interact, I have growing reverence and love and respect for my Lord, who is not a detached deity, who I do not have to go through a bunch of my own works and my own machinations to somehow please a deity I can never really know. And I do study my friends' faith, and I do interact with them. And where we can share common concern, you share common concern. You're not enemies. Now, in the spiritual realm, there is the battle of the deities. And you want to represent the kingdom of God well. But Jesus didn't come as a detached deity. He came and he became one of us. As Yancey wrote, he came as God with skin on. He pitched his tent. He made his dwelling with us. And so that we could see what it was like to live a life full of grace and truth. So in our culture today, Russ, you'll even read in letters to the editor and social media postings and so on, people are always pulling on the name of Jesus to justify something about this or something about that. The danger about that is we have a real tendency to create Jesus into our own image. You know, so if we like the Jesus that turns over tables and just is always blasting away with the truth, it's true, I got it, you know, then we're going to go strongly there. And if you're one who says, can't we all just get along and be fully inclusive and just make all these arguments pieced together into one big porridge, one big mishmash, you know, you're dealing, you know, look at Jesus. He had children come and sit on his knee and he never spoke against anyone. Well, you're not actually accurately representing him. You want to be a red letter Christian, you got to read all the red letters. I just had a sabbatical break for 3 months to work on specific study projects. I pulled out my journal from 30 years ago where it was spurred on by Calgary and the Olympics when I was involved there, and I was writing this journal, if Jesus was physically living in Canada today, how would he spend his time, energy, money? And I went chronologically through all the Gospels, and you get struck again when you're willing to read absolutely every passage, when you're willing to actually humble yourself to the Word of God and not try to switch it and change it into your own Western 2017 or 1986 Canadian version, but to really let Jesus speak, you see someone who came full of grace and truth. He had a message that set people free. You shall know the truth, and the truth is what sets you free. But he was also the one that could always hear the voice of the one crying out for help, who could always find the guy up in the tree, who always could find the woman by the well, who called us that if you're empowered by the Spirit, Pentecostals, that he's given you a gospel that is for the poor and the broken and the oppressed of our culture. You show up at the tables. And so Psalm 72, which has been referred to, and is so deeply embedded into Canadian understandings of our founding, and rightfully so. Let me read the full 8 verses. As it speaks prophetically of Jesus the Christ. In thou the King with your justice, O God, the royal Son with your righteousness, may he judge your people in righteousness and your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. So there's your Jesus who doesn't flip. Well, he does flip tables. He is in opposition to oppressors. But he's also there to save the children of the needy and the afflicted. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish. Just a side note, I won't take long on this, but an interesting thing is whenever the scriptures, including the Chronicles passage and others that we would refer to, whenever the righteous, just king is in right relationship with his people and brings us into right and just relationship with one another, wherever there is righteousness and justice reigning like that, the earth flourishes. Creation flourishes. You are talking about the Creator, the one who gives us these scenes I was describing. He loves to see the creation flourish. Creation care is not a subject for just one spectrum or the other. If you are a citizen of the kingdom and you're in right relationship with the Creator, you care. It doesn't replace the saving work of Jesus on the cross and the transformation that comes to us as individuals and as a people. But it's an automatic outflow, you see, of being in right relationship, loving relationship with the one who is the Creator. And there is a coming, a final day, when we will enjoy once again the beauty and the rightness of creation as he always intended. Read the end of the book, right? So, this prophetic psalm, so important to the Canadian founding and the life of the church within Canada, speaks of this flourishing, this justice, this care of the oppressed, and a prosperity will abound till the moon is no more. May he have dominion, rule from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. So here it is, folks. I'll kind of move quickly to wrap it up. But I want you to understand, you and I are going to live in tension, my friend, because we show up at the tables of our culture till the day we die. I cannot promise you, as a follower of Jesus, that you'll suddenly wake up one day and as the false teaching of Reconstructionism teaches, that you'll just finally find yourself in a Christian nation where everything is always was always intended to be. You know, the battle for the values of the kingdom of God are with us till the final day, and he shall reign forever and ever, King of kings and Lord of lords. But his rule, his kingdom, is at work today. And it's with work within us. And it's within at work within all who name the name of Jesus. And here's the great thing. In our culture, every single person that we interact with, be they of different faith backgrounds, different nations, and so on, whether they're male or female, on and on, they are all created in the image of God. There is a hook within them that longs for the righteousness and the justice of God. So you see, even those who don't name the name of Jesus, you see so many beautiful and right things coming out of their lives. Of course you do. And we're there to fuel that. We're there, and you know when it's done, we're there to cheer it on. We're not in opposition because it comes from somebody that doesn't have Christian written on them. I'm glad for everybody who shows up in our culture and cares for the broken and the oppressed, who looks after creation, who does something for their city, for their province, for their nation. I'm glad for all the peacekeepers that are there and those who serve as peace officers and so on, whatever their religious faith. When they are doing things that are right and true and just, they are living out the very created image of God that was put in them. So it doesn't help us. I'll shoot the wad. This is where it doesn't help us to always appear like we're the angry people stuck in a basement in our Facebook bunker throwing out our little grenades thinking that that's how you solve all of Canada's problems. Now, I'm on Facebook all the time. You can go on my Facebook. Look at the tone that's there. I've read 1 Peter. I want to do such good works. And I want people, even sometimes they'll be in opposition to it, but I want to do things that they understand that I'm living for a different kingdom, yes. But I want to do it, as Peter in chapter 3 says, with respect. I want them to see the purity of the kingdom of God. And yes, it is full of grace and truth. You have to communicate truth, but you communicate gracious truth. And you know your neighbor. And you show up at tables where people get to know you. They know who you are. And you're not just that person out in a Facebook bunker throwing grenades at them. No, you know they are created in the image of God. That if the king can come to this earth and pitch his tent amongst us and not be some detached deity, that can be someone who comes and lives among us and who knows our names and who knows our stories and actually is not shocked by our shame and our brokenness and our sinfulness, but actually shows up in our lives and redeems, sets us free. Then what if 2, 3, how many millions of those who love Jesus are committed to his word? What if they rose up and got out of their bunkers and got out of their animosity and they showed up at the tables of our culture and they showed up at the legislature and they showed up at federal ridings and so on, like they are. Thank God for our sisters and brothers. And showed up in our police forces and showed up in our medical systems and show up in the... And they are! But so many more at the local setting. And yeah, you will find, like Jesus said, there are those that will hate you. I've met a few. Have you met a few? You show up in the culture and your motives can be pure. You can honestly be trying to live out gracious truth. But just your difference becomes... I've been attacked in my role, if you can believe it, as an Olympic chaplain. Simple reason, they don't know me. You know why? Because I'm the district or general superintendent of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. I thought you were going to say your fancy hair. Yeah, my fancy hair. Yeah. It's usually under a baseball cap when I'm a chaplain. But you know why? Because there are truth-based things we communicate. One of them is Jesus as the one and only. And here's what they can't understand. I know our religion writer here in the Vancouver Sun had a hard time latching onto this, but he finally caught it. That you could have the Pentecostal guy, even the national Pentecostal guy, who believes Jesus is the one and only, and that I could still treat my Muslim friends, and they are my friends, with respect and dignity. And I could recognize parameters that said that they should have access to the Olympic Village, as should I. If you can't do that kind of hard work, then no, you won't be able to be at the tables of the Canadian culture. But after a while, they begin to realize, I cannot adopt as truth everything that every other Canadian believes or thinks. I just can't. Neither can they adopt everything that you and I might believe about truth. But you can show up at the table of culture, and you can, with respect and gentleness, live out your faith with gracious truth. And here's the powerful advantage. Jesus did not leave us to ourselves. But he has placed within us his Holy Spirit. And he said that that Spirit would empower us and would gift us so that, you see, you can walk into rooms with young professionals, many of whom have never cracked open a Bible once. 50% of Canadians have never opened the Bible once. So you got to show up at the tables or you'll never meet them, right? You can show up there and they can get to know you. They can get to know how you treat them with respect, how you want to hear their story, how you see the image of God over their young lives. They can also feel this powerful presence of God that comes from the fact that as you're walking through their village or as you're coming to the office where you work alongside of them, you're interceding in other languages. You're bearing the presence of God. There's something about the grace and truth of Jesus all over your life. There's something about words of wisdom and knowledge that the Spirit of God gives you at given moments and given conversations that just go so far deeper than the cultural blech that just gets passed off as truth or wisdom. Because the Spirit of God, it's not who we are. This isn't great shakes on me or any one of us. This is all about him. Amen. And that he has given us his Spirit. And his Spirit makes the difference in our citizenship in Canada. If you're a good dual citizen, the Spirit of God and the presence of God goes with you and it changes environments. People ask you questions. I believe in words of wisdom and knowledge as much on a Thursday in a planning meeting of Olympic Games or Invictus Games as I believe on a Sunday morning in a worship service. Because Jesus has given us his Spirit. Amen. So my friends, I'm sure there's nobody here that thinks that you're going to be this detached person in a Facebook bunker just throwing grenades and it will solve all problems. But if you are, I ask you to get into the Gospels again, cover to all four. But the majority of us, I believe you hear the heart cry today, and I believe it's the heart cry of our Lord at such a time as this. 2017, Canada, British Columbia, Surrey, you've been raised for such a time. The Spirit of God is within you. The grace and truth of Jesus is in your life. You must not keep it to yourself. Young men and young women, you are not called just to get educated so that you can go out there and live a life focused on yourself, or just to keep helping us run an institution we call the church. You are citizens of a kingdom that is great. And you are worshipers of a king who is great. I bid you, I call you, don't just be musicians, be worshipers. I bid you, live for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Be good citizens of the kingdom wherever God calls you to go, whatever nation you finally land in. And may you know the presence of Jesus working through you with his gracious truth to see many others set free. And his Spirit's on you. You're not alone. So stand with me, would you please? If you're prepared to respond to this commission today, this calling to be a dual citizen in our nation, And wherever God calls you around the world, first of all, we want to be worshipers. So would you join the hand of the person next to you? This is the price for attending a Pentecostal church, all right? So. Firstly, let's just be worshipers. Let's again thank our Lord for His graciousness in having us in the country that we're currently living in. For some of us, it's been our home and native land for all of our years. For others, you found yourself living in this nation. Maybe some are just visiting or here for a period of time or for education. But let's worship the fact that there is a King who longs to rule with righteousness and justice, and to let His people know what it is to experience His care, His watchfulness. We pray that again today, Lord, for our nation, for this province, for this city. Lord Jesus, we do not take anything for granted. We know not all things are settled, that, Lord, you have called us for such a time as this, but we pause on this July weekend, on the 150th anniversary of our nation, and we do say thank you. We do say thank you. We are worshipers. You're so good to us, Lord. Lord, we bless you. And we do, Lord, thank you for 35, 36 million others, each of whom's created in your image, each who has your hook in their spirits and in their lives. And I pray there'll be something even about this season, this time frame. We ask for something in the spirit where, Lord, you will just do a little pull on that hook. You will just draw our fellow Canadians closer to life in you, closer to recognizing that you are the righteous, just one. Lord, we just long for their lives, their families, their communities, Lord, to be built around the principles of the kingdom of God and the freedom that Jesus brings through His grace and His truth by the work He's done for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We honor you as the one who will rule and reign forever and ever. King of kings, Lord of lords, we're so proud to be your citizens, called by your name, chosen by you. But Lord, we live as exiles. We feel the tension. And Lord, I ask, as we hold hands with one another, from the youngest to the oldest, men and women, Lord, I pray that many of us from many different backgrounds, many different nationalities, Lord, we stand as one today. And Lord, we pray that you will allow each of us to be empowered by the Spirit in a fresh way. Lord, stir up the gifting and the callings that are in this room right now. Lord, they're distinct. They're varied. Some are meant to show up quite publicly. Some will probably just show up in relationship and in some private contexts. But Lord, our vocations matter. Our education matters. Lord, the places you call us to in this culture matter. So we honor one another today. And we pray for our brothers and our sisters. We pray especially for those younger than ourselves. Stir up the giftings and callings that you have on them to be representatives of the kingdom of God. We pray that the powerful presence of your Spirit would mark their lives. We pray that they would be marked by wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We pray that they will know how to offer gracious truth, such as Jesus offered gracious truth, so that we may see many lives come to freedom. Now, Lord, being dual citizens, we do thank you for the stability of our country and the institutions you've given. But we recognize that we need to keep showing up at those tables at such a time as this, So we pray for those serving in government at all levels. In Jesus' name, as we prayed for Marvin, so we pray, Lord. Lord, strengthen them with might in the inner person. May they be strong in you and in the power of your might. Raise up many others, Lord, to show up at that table, knowing they are fully in the will of God, totally fulfilling your calling on their life. We honor those who have served faithfully. Actually, listen to Marvin, Lord. I thank you for the legacy I enjoyed in Alberta of William Eberhardt and Ernest Manning and Preston Manning and others who showed up at the table in Alberta. Lord, we just thank you for those who have served. We thank you for those who would not name you but serve faithfully, and they live out that fact that the image of God is within them, and they want their cities to be well. They want their province to be well. They want to see this country flourish and be secure. We honor them today. But Lord, we do pray, pull on the hook. Lord, draw them closer to your kingdom, and closer to your truth and your principles. We think of all of the different Christian denominations and the family of God that is so diverse across this nation. Some lean heavy into you, Lord, and into your word, and honor Jesus as the one and only. We bless our brothers and sisters today and all of the various callings on their lives and all of the churches they represented, not just in buildings, but in influence and presence. Lord, we honor them today. There are other churches that are in crisis, and part of it is a truth crisis. Some have jettisoned truth in order to follow other agendas and other thinking. Lord, we reach out in humility to these friends today in prayer. And we pray, revive, renew, recall, draw them to you, to your word, to the work of Jesus. Lord, we do, with gentleness and respect, interact with many other friends from many other different faith groups. Some are organized faith groups, and then we recognize there's faith that's just rooted in an enlightenment that's led to a certain view of human dignity and philosophy that goes with that, and some we'd actually stand in strong opposition to, Lord. But with gentleness and with respect and with care for our friends today that we share our community with, Lord, hear our cry. Hear our cry. Open the eyes of their heart. May we be in their lives. May we be in relationship. May they sense the presence of God within us. May they see good works. May they hear wisdom. Lord, may it cause them to long for something that's so much deeper. May they long for Jesus, who will transform lives and transform families and, yes, transform communities. We pray for our fellow Canadians today. So bring us to the tables, Lord. Where we're at tables, Lord, thank you for that. May our brothers and sisters be strong in you today. We pray for the tensions within education, within the tensions even, Lord, within in peace officers, and military, and security. Oh, God, we just come alongside of these friends in all of these different venues. Lord, in community services and health. Oh, God, we value everyone who serves in the different trades, people who are working like their Lord worked. Lord, as a carpenter, earning his keep in his 20s. We come alongside of our friends in every industry, in the creative arts, Lord, in science. Lord, we honor these callings today. Let everyone know how to be strong in you and in the power of your might. Let every one of them know how to apply your wisdom and knowledge to the place they find themselves. And so, Lord, in that way, revive our nation, transform it from sea to sea to sea. This we pray in Jesus' great name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Let's worship with the team again.
Jesus, hope of the nations.
Jesus.